You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Protesters have begun occupying Lake Rotokākahi, a tapu lake in Rotorua, over a decision by the Rotorua Lakes Council to construct a sewerage pipeline, with the last 1.3 kilometres of the pipeline being laid near the lake. The protesters, largely descended from local iwi Tūhourangi and Tūmatawera Hapū, believe that the works will desecrate the lake site and pollute it, and 7 arrests have been made so far. The week before this, Stats NZ published their annual child poverty statistics report, which showed that the number of children living in material hardship increased by 0.9% from last year, and that the government missed all 3 of its targets for reducing child poverty. And in that same week, Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson's Consumer Guarantees Right to Repair Amendment Bill passed its first reading in Parliament, which would require manufacturers to provide repair parts and resources to allow consumers to extend the life cycle of the products that they use. I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March for the Green Party's take on all of these issues. So to begin, what are the Green Party's thoughts on the protests at Lake Rotokākahi?
We absolutely support the activations happening at the lake. It's really important, actually, that works on this extremely damaging and controversial sewage project are stopped until the environmental court has made a decision. And I can totally understand and support why people felt the need to occupy that space until they had that outcome.
Right, so as you just mentioned, the pipeline's development has gone ahead without consents from the Environment Court and also in the face of opposition by local iwi, hapu, and the tribal authority. How do you think that this development was able to go ahead in the first place?
Well, this is such a clear example of why we need the Te Reti o Waitangi, right? Because we have hapu and whānau telling us that an infrastructure project will damage a wahi tapu site that is incredibly meaningful culturally, but also for the well-being of our environment. And yet you have local authorities here not even being able to have regard for, example, one of our safeguards when it comes to infrastructure projects, in this case, the environmental court.
Do you think that the local authorities have used excessive force in the way they've handled the protest?
I think there's absolute valid concerns coming out from the ground in terms of the police operations, both in terms of the timing, but in terms of the force. And this is why we're going to be keeping an eye out and keeping communication with the crew that is protecting our natural environment at the lake, because at the end of the day, what we need is a outcome that both reflects the aspirations of Tangata Whenua, and that includes the protection of a lake that actually has really important significance to our natural environment and to our history.
And how will the Greens challenge any further developments of the pipeline near the lake and support local iwi and hapu protesting it?
Well, I think there's obviously, being central government figures, our role is to liaise things like, for example, the use of resources by the police. That's something I know my colleagues are following it up. And then it's also about using our platform to call for local authorities to stand down. We hope that we get to visit again the site this week and to liaise directly with the protesters too.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Last week, Stats NZ published their annual Child Poverty Statistics Report. The figures were taken from the Household Economic Survey responses between July 2023 and June 2024 and showed that the number of children living in material hardships increased by 0.9% from the last year and that the government missed all 3 of its targets across the primary measures of child poverty. How would you respond to these figures?
Well, they tell us what people on the ground have been telling us for quite some time, right? That too many families are struggling to put adequate food on the table, that people are living in cold, damp, expensive homes, and that many families are living basically almost week to week. And so it should be a wake-up call for the government to do far more to end child poverty in this country. We have the resources to do it, and it's a matter of political will. So I think this is an indictment on successive governments and their inability to pay attention and focus on some of our most pressing issues, such as children growing up in poverty.
Minister for Child Poverty Reduction Louise Upston has said that the government has been trying to combat child poverty by boosting the incomes of working families through tax relief, reducing inflation, and introducing the Family Boost childcare tax rebate to make childcare more affordable. How would you respond to that? Do you think that these policies are actually effective at reducing child poverty?
Just because the minister says they are doesn't make it true. I mean, for example, the tax changes actually will disproportionately benefit those that are wealthiest and will only give a marginal benefit to those on the lowest, absolute lowest incomes. I think the government has relied on actually doing nothing else other than what they've already announced. If you see their projections on child poverty, they actually rely on the government doing nothing. And, you know, the government keeps talking about not having enough resources, but yet they've been willing to hand out $3 billion to landlords without actually being able to show that it will reduce rents, while then refusing to, for example, lift the incomes of families living in poverty, to lift them out of poverty, which would have actually a similar cost when it comes to doing what's needed to meet our targets.
So what policies are actually needed to reduce child poverty then?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's important to acknowledge that the types of families that are experiencing disproportionate amounts of poverty, in this case, it's families with disabled children, Maori, Pacifica families, and a lot of these are some of the people that have been most impacted by the rise of unemployment. So this is why we need to lift income support, and we've been proposing guaranteed minimum income for quite some time. And then it's also other things like changes to the Working for Families package to make sure that the caregivers can get the in-work tax credit, because I think it's important to recognize that raising children is work, and right now our income support systems don't treat it as such.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Last week, Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson's Consumer Guarantees Right to Repair Amendment Bill passed its first reading in Parliament. The bill would require manufacturers to provide repair parts and resources that would allow consumers to extend the life cycle of the products that they use. So why is it important for the rights of consumers to repair their products to be codified into law?
Yeah, look, I feel really strongly about this, having drafted that very same bill that now Marama Davidson is championing. And it actually came about from the fact that many of us have experienced, for example, having like a washing machine, an oven, microwave, kettle break, and then being told by the manufacturer that it is actually cheaper to simply replace it than having it repaired, or simply finding a part to have it repaired. The truth is that manufacturers are getting away with not producing things in a way that allows them to be repaired, and that ends up costing more for consumers. But it also means we're sending tons and tons of waste to landfill, polluting our environment, when actually all we could do is require manufacturers to do better and produce repair parts and the information needed so that people can actually keep their goods for longer.
So just to reiterate, have manufacturers and the private sector been preventing consumers from being able to repair their own products?
In many cases, basically they have, and this is because they haven't taken it upon themselves to adequately provide repair parts or the information required. We do have some okay examples actually here in Aotearoa, with Plant Umbrellas being a good example of a company that's trying to do its part. But I think what it all shows is that we need to actually keep up with the rest of the world, because in many parts of the world, they're starting to introduce right to repair legislation. Ours will simply change the Consumer Guarantees Act to then require those manufacturers to provide those parts.
Can you go into the environmental impacts of this bill and how it could benefit the environment?
Well, part of avoiding tons and tons of waste going into landfill is about ensuring that people don't have to throw away their goods if they can be repaired. Because right now, we know that many appliances, for example, or even IT equipment ends up going to landfill when actually all it needed was to have a couple of parts replaced. This actually ends up filling up our landfills, which in turn, risks polluting our waterways. And, e-waste is actually something, particularly when we think about our smartphones or computers, e-waste actually contains really valuable metals that actually, we should be recycling and reusing, because those metals actually end up costing our environments a lot because of the way that they have to be mined.
And will this bill hurt manufacturers and businesses, or could it actually be mutually beneficial for them?
It can be mutually beneficial, right? Because at the end of the day, I think consumers do want brands that are doing the best for people and the planet. So actually, this is a call for brands to step up their game and to build that trust with their consumers. And other parts of the world are already moving on with right to repair legislation. The danger with New Zealand falling behind is that we'll just end up being the dumping ground for appliances that cannot be repaired. And so while other countries start to step up and put legislation, we could end up falling behind. We really want this to work, and so we're happy to work at the select committee stage now with other political parties to ensure that we make the necessary changes so that this has cross-party consensus.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the ongoing protests at Lake Rotokakahi, Stats NZ's recent child poverty report, and Marama Davidson's Consumer Guarantees Right to Repair Amendment Bill.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.